Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Andrew P. Shea. Ross will be along for quarter number two and quarter number three. Andrew, how are you doing? You ready to talk some Penn State news and notes?
Yeah, I'm good, Jim. How are you? How are you doing this fine spring week?
Very good. Hopefully take advantage of the weather at some point and get out and hit the little ball around a little bit. Andy, how about yourself?
If I can ever get away from mowing the grass every 3 days, right? Like spring in the Northeast, the grass grows like a weed. I put fertilizer down. It's my own fault. You want to keep your grass looking nice. But, yeah. So let's talk some Penn State football. Let's roll.
All right. Let's start with this, Andy. Penn State has a new opponent coming up in a few years. They announced a home-and-home series with Syracuse in 2027 and 2028. I'll start out with I like it. I like that they're playing a team from a Power 5 conference. I like that it's a team that they have played years ago. Us old guys remember playing Syracuse and enjoy picking that back up again. I like that it's a regional game in that if you're a Pennsylvania Penn Stater, there's a good chance you can drive to Syracuse to watch the game. And I believe there's a pretty good number of Penn State grads in upstate New York. So I see this as a major win. I love it. What do you think?
Yeah, it's a retro game for the Penn State fan base that you've documented and just eloquently stated. My question is, it's a team in the ACC. Why not Pitt? But that's just the me question, right? Like, if you're going to look at a team in the ACC in another Power 5, can you look at a Pitt game? And I'm not like, Penn State has to play Pitt. But I think it's a good game for Syracuse. I think it really is a good game for Syracuse to get. And it's a Power 5 opponent for Penn State. Any Power 5 non-conference opponent on your schedule going forward, no matter how the playoffs evolve, is going to be needed. A Q factor is better, but any Power 5 is better than a non-Power 5.
It is. And, you know, the Pitt question is a little more involved.
It is.
I think a little bit, you know, spreading out those games where it's Pitt for a couple years, okay, Syracuse for a couple years, but I had BC in my head. You know, why not BC then for, you know, a couple games at some point?
Agreed.
So these were the old rivalries. And West Virginia, another example of a team in the region, in a Power 5 conference. I personally have no problem with playing Pitt every year in that they are a rival. I get no greater pleasure than Penn State beating Pitt. But as we all know, it's a little bit more involved than that. So overall, I think Syracuse, good call, good matchup. I think most Penn State fans will be good with that. Speaking of Pitt, Andy, in the news this week has been quite a bit written about Jordan Addison, very good receiver for Pitt, and he's entering the portal. But prior to entering the portal, there was a lot of talk that he would be entering the portal, and that it was not only an NIL decision to enter the portal, but that there were other teams, namely USC, who were tampering with him, meaning while he was still on the Pitt roster, before he entered the portal, somebody got in his ear to say, hey, come to USC and you're going to get this kind of money. Much more complicated than that, but Andy, the combination of NIL and transfer portal, I heard someone describe it this way. Transfer portal, good. NIL, good. Transfer portal and NIL, not necessarily so good. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so I I'm a little bit conflicted, right? Like, so the NIL, excuse me, is a free market thing, right? The transfer portal is an open market for the players. The combination of the two makes, they're both clean, but they're good in concept, both of them, but just, it kind of makes it, it just makes it a little bit of a muddy mess. I mean, the name, image, and likeness is free market. I mean, this is kind of what coaches do. It feels like what coaches have been doing for 25 years in major college football. You know, they take from others and help themselves. So, but I know this isn't the intent behind it. The tampering stuff, that's just going to be part of NIL's sort of growth and growing pains. But the fact that NIL is free market, everybody has a value, right? Everyone is underpaid until you're overpaid, right? And location, 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 that sort of matters in the free market. So for Addison, the Biletnikoff Award winner, I mean, I think there's another fact, a couple other factors here. One is, he just lost his starting quarterback to the NFL draft in the first round. His position coach left for Texas. When you look at those things beyond just the sort of like, you know, what Pat Narduzzi was kind of doing, which was calling out USC for tampering and anybody else for that matter, if they were. And I'm not saying they weren't, because I'm pretty sure they were, or at least they were trying to push the envelope right up to the very edge of any line that might exist. You know, those are kind of factors as well. I mean, LSU was sort of working with Brian Kelly right before he left Notre Dame and went to LSU and became their head coach. That's okay, I guess, right? So what has to be good for the coaches kind of should be good for the players, but it's a mess, dude. You know, this is sort of a feeling of welcome to what non-Power 5 schools feel like all the time. Like, they feel like this whether NIL exists or not, right? Like, this is how they get treated all the time. They get rated for coaches and players, and that is what happens with non-Power 5 programs a lot. So it feels like that. I am conflicted because the free market part of it, of the NIL part, is that's just the way it's going to be. The transfer portal is a really good thing. The combination when those two mix together, it's not something that is avoidable, but it is not something that seems to be, that doesn't seem to be like a very level playing field.
Andy, my take on it is, and I'll tie together name, image, and likeness and the transfer portal. In the portal itself, I agree, it's a good thing. But entering the portal should be the line of demarcation. Nobody should be able to go after the player till he says, I'm entering the portal, or he has entered the portal. Then he's fair game. He's wide open. Same thing with name, image, and likeness. I believe it's once the kid gets to my school, he's now open and available for NIL. When he's still either at another college or still in high school and has not committed yet, I think of that, I'm going to use the word tampering for both instances. Now the question is there a way to police that? And I'm not sure there is, but it's where I would like to see the line drawn. I don't want a high school kid now. Name, image, and likeness was supposed to be, okay, Sean Clifford is at Penn State. How could he now use his name and image to make money? Not, okay, I'll give you that money, Sean, to come to Penn State.
Right.
And it's the same way here, you know, with the Jordan Addison from Pitt. Now, the way he and his people are cleaning this up, they're using what you said, you know, lost his position coach, lost his quarterback. This is about positioning himself better for the NFL, which is legitimate. It's what Arnold Ebikidi did in coming to Penn State.
Absolutely.
But it seems like there's enough smoke here that there's some fire somewhere. And, you know, if the kid had just entered the portal on his own without any interference no problem with it. If he had then chosen USC, no problem with it. Then USC donors could come in and do the NIL thing. It's a timing thing. Go ahead.
It was a timing thing. You're 100% right, Jim. And I think the NCAA is going to have a problem, a policing problem, no matter what. Right now, they don't have a line. They don't have a line of demarcation. They don't have a line in the sand. They don't say there is no line. So I think they have to first establish a line, knowing no matter what they do, they're going to have a policing problem to separate the transfer portal and NIL. Make transfer portal entry necessary in order to do NIL. You're still going to have a policing problem, right? We're not acknowledging that you will not. This type of scenario could still exist, but they don't have a line or a policy right now in relation to that. And they need to establish that first and then work on the policing issue second. And you're still going to have it. It's still going to be a problem, but you can't have both of them being absent of any, clear cut line. That's just my two cents. Establish a line and then figure out we're going to have a policing problem and figure it out.
And I believe that they are going to try to do something. One of the issues they're going to have is the NCAA got their butt handed to them by the courts. So they're going to be very afraid to do anything because they're afraid they will lose it with the courts again.
Yeah.
One last item in the last minute we have here, Andy, just wanted your comment on. I thought it was interesting. I saw some early point spreads have come out, and Penn State, surprise, surprise, starting their season in the Big Ten on the road again at Purdue. Penn State is a 4-point favorite. Surprise to you at all?
It is. Now, I say that saying I haven't done any 2022 roster study on Purdue yet, but all I know is they're 9-4 a year ago. They lost guys to the NFL, just like Penn State. Purdue won 5 of its last 6 games. Their only loss was to Ohio State. They beat Michigan State the week before they lost to Ohio State. Kind of none of that matters because that was 2021. And Penn State's end wasn't pretty, but it says Penn State wins by a touchdown on the road. I find that very interesting.
Well, what you're referring to is a touchdown. It would be a 7-point probably on a neutral field. Yep. With the 3 points Purdue gets at home, it comes out as a 4-point favorite. Well, interesting to see if that will change as we get closer. All right, that's it for quarter number one in the news. Stick around. Ross will be here in quarter number two.
This is Jen from Collegiate Athletic Travel. We've been offering travel to the biggest Penn State games for over 50 years. This fall, we continue that tradition in partnership with Keystone Sports Network with a trip to the Penn State Auburn game. Join us for charter flight, staying at the team hotel, transportation to and from the game, and even a great tailgate party at the stadium are included. For more information, go to athletictravel.com or call 1-800-788-4414. See you there.
What defines the special spirit of Penn State? Why Penn State, by author Greg Woodman, looks to Happy Valley in the 1980s for answers. Featuring rare photos, original essays, and exclusive interviews with Coach Paterno, this beautiful 256-page full-color hardback edition explores the why behind We Are. It's chicken soup for the Nittany Lion's soul and makes the perfect gift for any Penn Stater in your life, including you. Order today at whypennstate.com.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.
We are Tech Results, located right here in State College. Whether it's workstation, server and network installation, problem solving and maintenance, security assessments, or general evaluations, we are your complete IT partner. Learn more at techresults.com. That's TEKResults.com. Or call us at 814-206-0000.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number two, brought to you by our good friends at Collegiate Athletic Travel. Keystone Sports, in partnership with Collegiate Athletic Travel, is offering you the opportunity to travel to Auburn for the Penn State-Auburn football game in September. It's going to be a great time. Charter flight, stay at the team hotel, transportation to and from the game, and even a great tailgate party at the stadium. Going to be a good time. Dustin and I will be along on the trip. I hope you can join us. If you want more information, you can go to athletictravel.com or call 800-788-4414 for all the information and details. As I said, it's quarter number two. That means we have Ross Tucker in the house. So Ross, how you doing today?
Jim, I am doing awesome. I'm fired up for the subject matter today. I feel like I have a bunch of interesting things to say, which is dangerous. I don't know if they really are interesting or not. I'm not the one that ultimately decides that. The listeners are, but very much looking forward to diving into what I think is an interesting and important conversation related to Penn State and the most recent NFL draft. But also, I got to be honest with you, man, I get incredibly jealous every week when you talk about how you and Dustin are going to Auburn. Like, I would love to do that, especially without my wife. Just go down there, be there for a couple days. I mean, you don't understand, Jim. You don't know what I'm like, man. I would just be walking around meeting anybody and everybody. I'd be going up to tailgates, trying food. Like, I'd be giving them a beer for if they can give me something they're eating. I mean, it would be epic. I am like a tailgate maven. I think I told you I was able to get a game of beer pong in at the blue-white game and able to get, I don't know, I drank five or six beers in a very short amount of time because I was with my family and my buddy's family. It was like, it was basically the same thing as like drinking a Gatorade after a training camp practice where you're just like crushing Gatorades. It was very similar, except I was dehydrating myself rather than hydrating.
You know, very simple, Ross. I want to tailgate with you. You've got me all excited about it. You know, Penn State tailgating is fantastic, but there's just something special about going on the road with your team. I've done it a couple times. I've had just a fantastic time. And despite stories that you hear, typically you go in wearing the opposing team's gear. The home team is usually very accommodating. They're very friendly. They invite you to their tailgate. And yes, I've done that in Columbus. I've done it in Madison, Wisconsin, and had the best time. So I can't wait for this trip. But let's get to the topic at hand. And don't worry, we will get back to Ross's scouting report on the class of 22 next week. But today's topic, this Ross, you're the perfect guy to talk to because we're going to talk about the Penn State football players and we're going to talk about their NFL future after they get drafted. So who better to talk to about Penn State football and the NFL? And speaking of which, I want to start right at the top, Ross, with Jahan Dotson, who went in round one, the 16th pick to the Washington Commanders. It's always hard to remember to say that. And I know, by the way, on your podcast, you had Greg Cosell on, who loves Jahan Dotson, it sounds like, and thought this was a great pick. What's your take?
Yeah, well, let me say this, Jim. Do you mind if I – can I do a big picture comment first?
Sure.
Before we get into Dotson. But yes, I thought it was very interesting on the Ross Tucker football podcast this week, which hopefully some of you guys listen to or watch. You can check it out at Ross Tucker NFL, at Ross Tucker Pod on social media. And I guess if you're listening to this, you probably know how to listen to another podcast. But And he thought Jahan Dotson's a better player than Chris Olave, a better prospect than Chris Olave from Ohio State, which really says something because the Saints traded next year's one, this year's three, and a second-round pick in 2024 to get the 16th pick from the Eagles. And then they traded from 16 to 11 with the Commanders to get Chris Olave. They gave up the third and fourth round picks. So they ended up giving up five picks, including a first rounder, a second rounder, and two third rounders and a fourth rounder to get Chris Olave. It feels like a lot, especially when Greg Cosell says on my show that he thinks Dotson's a better prospect. So before I dive into Dotson, because I do have something to say there, I did want to make a point regarding Penn State in general. They had eight guys drafted, Jim. I think that was top five. I don't know if you saw, or I think I saw a list. Georgia had 15. Cincinnati had 9, which is just incredible that the Cincinnati Bearcats, a group of five school, had 9 guys drafted. People should be doing whatever they can to try to get Fickell, although I guess they're going Big 12 now, so maybe they are Power 5. I don't know. But, I mean, he's either evaluating better or he's developing kids better or both at Cincinnati. But I got to be honest with you, Jim. Penn State did not get enough out of these young men. You know, you're a top five in terms of NFL draft choices and back-to-back disappointing seasons. 2 years ago, it's a losing season. What was their final record this year, Jim?
They were one game over this year, so they were, 7-6 this year, 5-6 last year. They're overall, last 2 years, they're 500 team.
Yeah, very disappointing. You have that many guys get drafted, not just getting drafted, but Brisker, Ebukadi, and Jahan Dotson, that's three of the top 50 players in the draft. So I think something needs to be said there that's not a good look for Penn State. It's a good look that many guys are getting drafted. It's not a good look they're not winning more games with them. And then the second thing I would say that this jumped out to me, what do Brisker, the first three that went in the top 50 picks, Dotson, Ebukadi, Brisker, what do those guys all have in common, Jim?
They stuck around.
Not very highly touted recruits. Brisker had to go JUCO, but wasn't really well known. Dotson, Penn State didn't even really put the pedal to the metal to try to get him until late in the process after Chip Kelly wasn't really giving him a whole lot of love after he had committed to UCLA. Ebukadi wasn't highly recruited, ended up being a transfer portal guy. What do the guys that got drafted later? Rashid Walker, 7th round. Castro Fields, 6th round. Brandon Smith, 4th round, have in common.
Very highly rated.
Very highly rated recruits that ultimately didn't live up to it and disappointed. So on one hand, you could look at that and say, man, Penn State's not doing a great job of developing their five stars like Brandon Smith and Rashid Walker and Castro Fields. But then you can't really say that because the flip side is they're doing a heck of a job developing Dotson and Brisker and Ebukadi.
My question is, the first three, as I mentioned, Brisker, Ebukadi, and Dotson, all stayed for one more year. They could have gone declared for the draft a year earlier. Could you argue that both Rashid Walker and Brandon Smith could have or maybe should have stayed another year for development?
Yes, I think you should have, because I think Brandon Smith, quite frankly, is not a very good football player. He's just a lot of physical ability at this point. And if he had come back, I think he would have been drafted maybe first round, but definitely day two, which is a big difference. I mean, you can make an argument you'd rather go fourth round and go now. Rashid Walker, I mean, he was barely drafted. Now, that's a little unique, though, because he didn't get better the last couple years. So I guess you could say he could have stayed, but it just didn't feel like he was getting better, Jim. So At any rate, just two observations from the start in general. As for Dotson, you know, did you see Ron Rivera's comments about Dotson, Jim, the head coach of the Commanders?
No, I didn't.
You got to Google it. Because he basically said, you have to look who these guys are playing with. And the quarterback for Penn State was doing his best, but Dotson made him look good a lot. I mean, he was trying real hard not to throw Clifford under the bus, but just Google it, Jim. Trust me. He's trying to compliment Dotson, but there was no way to do it without kind of saying some things about Clifford. So love Dotson opposite Terry McLaurin there. I think Washington actually is cooking with gas a little bit. Ebba Cady, I'm really excited for. I thought he took his game to the next level with Penn State as opposed to what he had done at Temple. And that's a good sign for Penn State. And then Brisker, I think, is just a really good football player who all three of those guys, I think you're right, Jim, made the right decision to come back. All three of them went higher than they would have. And I think significantly higher. Dotson would have been a second-round pick probably. Brisker probably wouldn't end up going in the third round. Ebba Cady would have been like, I don't know, fifth, sixth round maybe? So that's a huge difference.
Well, and I'm not sure if that will influence other people, but the situation is such that there is a time and place for players to come back. And I think Rashid Walker especially missed the boat. And by the way, I wanted to circle back to one other your talk about Rivera's comments. When you asked how could a team with this many draft picks finish 500 over the past two seasons, did Ron Rivera just answer that question, Ross?
Well, that's part of it. That's certainly part of it, I think. And, you know, it's a whole other topic, Jim. It'll be very interesting to see how long of a leash Sean Clifford has this year. It seems like they like Veyu. In terms of the other guys, I think Lucade is going to stick as a versatile Swiss Army knife who's good on special teams. I think Walker is going to have to really prove himself. He's in a dangerous spot. Stout will be the punter in Baltimore, obviously. And I like Castro Fields. I'm surprised Castro Fields didn't go a little higher. Just inconsistent throughout his career.
I think that is the case, and I think he was nicked up quite a bit, too, during his college years. Hopefully he's healthy. All right, Ross, that's it for quarter number two. Stick around in quarter number three. We're going to take your questions, and we're going to ask Ross.
This is Jen from Collegiate Athletic Travel. We've been offering travel to the biggest Penn State games for over 50 years. This fall, we continue that tradition in partnership with Keystone Sports Network with a trip to the Penn State-Auburn game. Join us for charter flight, staying at the team hotel, transportation to and from the game, and even a great tailgate party at the stadium are included. For more information, go to athletictravel.com or call 1-800-788-4414. See you there.
In his book, Why Penn State, author Greg Woodman takes readers on a trip back in time to Happy Valley in the 1980s, a unique era of gridiron success and rapid expansion that gave our university its modern identity. Whether you're traveling down memory lane or discovering old state's past for the first time, this compilation of rare photos, original essays, and exclusive interviews helps you explore the why behind We Are. Start your journey today. Order online at whypennstate.com.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.
We are Tech Results. Located right here in State College, we specialize in providing assistance with many third-party software suites. Our clients include doctor's offices, lawyers, construction companies, and even hairdressers. We provide help with their industry-specific software. Learn more at techresults.com. That's TEK results.com. or give us a call at 814-206-0000. Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. I'm with Ross Tucker. It's quarter number three. You know what that means? It's time to ask Ross. This is where we take your questions for Ross, and the best question wins the KSN Polo. If you want to submit a question for Ross, really easy. Just download our app, Keystone Sports, and you'll see the Ask Ross button there. All right, Ross, let's get started. Stan from Franklin, Tennessee, thinks like you do, and you'll understand in a second. Ross, first things first. Where's your favorite dining spot of all the college towns and NFL cities you visited and your favorite dish? And his football question is, Penn State had 8 starters picked in the NFL and 5 free agents signed. This was a 7-6 team? How do you interpret that?
Well, a couple things on the second part. Number one, they underachieved, but also, in fairness, they had a really hard schedule. I mean, they did. They had a really tough schedule this year, you know, because they had a disappointing record, but they won on the road at Wisconsin. They beat Auburn. I mean, they had a couple of signature wins, but, you know, the Illinois loss is the one that probably stings the most. Because then you're 8-4 in the regular season and you feel a little bit better about it. But there's no way around it. It was obviously a disappointing year. That's a good question in terms of my favorite. Because obviously he's not talking about the stadium itself. He's talking about, like, the cities, right?
Yep.
So I don't get to that many college cities on a regular basis other than West Point. And there's nothing at West Point that I would say qualifies. I usually just get Chipotle. And I love Chipotle. You can check it out on social media, at Ross Tucker NFL. I'm trying to think some of the other places I've been. There's a place in LA that has really good Cuban food. There's a million places in New Orleans. I mean, New Orleans is off the charts food. There's a million places. You know, ironically, I usually get there late the night before, and then I have the game. So a lot of times I'm just eating at the hotel. I don't get a chance to eat in the cities nearly as much as people might think I do. So I think that's something that needs to be said. Trying to think where else. Oh, I usually go out for barbecue in Kansas City. And there's a couple of different places I can go to there. So I'll probably say the Kansas City barbecue.
I think that's a good answer. Let's go to Steve in Chicago. He says, hey, Ross, we've seen a lot of issues already created by NIL. Do you think colleges are also going to suffer based on donors giving money to the NIL collectives versus in the past their donations going to overall college fundraising efforts? Normally, the pot of donation money is only so large, and going forward appears the allocation of money may change. And, you know, to his point, so if you're, say, a Penn State donor and Penn State wants to upgrade Beaver Stadium, where are you going to put your money? To getting better players or to upgrading facilities?
It's a good question. It's really very simple. If you care about winning and losing, it's got to go to NIL. It's got to go to the players. Do you think, Jim, it's a better conversation. Have you seen a lot about NIL and Penn State? Have you gotten any emails or any ads or anything? Because, like, so I am in this world with Go Big Recruiting. So I see what's happening. NIL is huge. And every dollar you have right now that you want to support Penn State football should go to NIL. And if you put it in the collective, make sure you say it's for football and not for every sport, because it's an arms race right now. The facility thing is over. Kids are not going to be making decisions based on facilities or stadiums. They're going to be basing it on NIL, right or wrong, until there's more legislation. So if you care about Penn State football, if it's important to you, you need to start donating whatever you can to this collective and tell everybody else you know, because I'm hearing about it, Jim, from high school parents now. I mean, it's a whole new world. And this is how a lot of high school kids, and especially transfers, are making decisions.
And it's going to be more and more the case. In fact, candidly, Ross, I have not heard a lot about it at Penn State. And I'm wondering how they've been doing so well on the recruiting front, considering that. We'll see how it goes going forward. All right, next up is our buddy Tony from Philadelphia. Just a reminder, Ross, Tony's the one who debated us about what to put on a pizza. And he challenged us with our take that only meat goes on pizza. But here's first his football question. Other than strength training, what can offensive linemen do individually and or collectively during the summer months to improve their skills? P.S. G&A Restaurante Special Pizza has mushrooms on it. What is up with that? So I think Tony may be flipping or trying to get on our good side there.
G&A is incredible. I am not a fan of mushrooms. I know a lot of people are. I get it. Are they like really healthy or something, Jim? Because I don't get the taste. I don't like, if they're really healthy, I guess I understand it. But like, who says that they like that more than like sausage or pepperoni or ham?
Exactly. That's the point, Ross. Mushrooms better be healthy because they're not making it on their taste.
Correct. Look, I understand the thought process. The dough, the cheese, and the sauce is good enough that let me feel better about myself by putting like broccoli on the pizza, you know what I mean? And making it a vehicle for something healthy. I understand that logic, but at that point, why don't you just have a salad? You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to go healthy, go healthy. If you're going to go not healthy, go not healthy. That's kind of my philosophy. I said this to my buddy real quick recently because we're both trying to lose weight. Like, the key is to be good when it's time to be good so you can be bad when it's time to be bad. That's how I look at it. So what was the question? Oh, O-line. I feel like that happens a lot, Jim.
We have to prioritize, Ross.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. There's a lot you can do beyond strength training. And it's really all technique, because offensive line play is all about technique. I'm not sure I really realized how important technique was until I got to the NFL. You know, you worked on it in high school. You work on it in college. You know you want to have good technique. Jim, it is a huge differentiator. It is what wins and loses a lot of times at the next level, at the highest level. And it's how good you are with your footwork and how good you are with your hands. So that's what offense, I mean, the older I got, the less I focused on strength training or even conditioning, And the more I focused on my skills, my craft, you know, I was usually a backup. I started 25 games or whatever, but my primary job was a backup at really at times all five spots, but always all three interior spots. So I would really work. I would envision every play we could call in the game. And I would run through every play at every position. So it's 47G on the left guard, I'm pulling left. 47G on the center, I got to go up through for the linebacker. 47G on the right guard, I got to cut off the nose tackle. Like, and I would do that footwork, and I would rep it, and I would pretend I was doing the play. Then a lot of times with pass blocking, I'd work on my hands, work on my inside hand, work on my outside hand, work on independent punching. So technique is what they can and should work on for those guys.
It'll be interesting to see how much they do work and how much the effect it will have for next season. Let's go to Mike in Dauphin, who says, it's obvious that Drew Aller isn't going to sniff the field in 2022. Come September, if he's listed as fourth on the depth chart, do you think they'll be panicked by the fans, the coaches, or in the Aller household? Do you think Franklin will list both Aller and Prabula as tied for third to try to prevent a transfer?
Well, this is the world we live in. These are actual discussions that need to happen because nobody wants to wait. They want it, and they want it now. I don't think he'll be fourth on the depth chart. I think he'll be third at the lowest. And I think if Clifford falters, Clifford will be fourth. And I think it'd probably be Vayu first. But if Vayu's not lighting it up, I wouldn't be surprised if Aller starts to get some playing time.
My take on it, Ross, is the battle isn't going to be so much September. It's going to be next spring after Clifford's gone. Because if it's Vayu, it could be Vayu for 3 years, okay? So I would think it's going to be next spring that the real battle is going to be, and someone could end up transferring after that. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think they'll both go in the spring, next spring, battling for the job. And I think that Penn State will say it's too close to call, so they don't transfer after spring ball. And then I think they'll have them both for next year.
I think that's a good prediction, Ross. All right, that's it for quarter number three. Stick around in quarter number four. Andy is back, and we'll name our winner. Stay tuned.
This is Jen from Collegiate Athletic Travel. We've been offering travel to the biggest Penn State games for over 50 years. This fall, we continue that tradition in partnership with Keystone Sports Network with a trip to the Penn State-Auburn game. Join us for charter flight, staying at the team hotel, transportation to and from the game, and even a great tailgate party at the stadium are included. For more information, go to athletictravel.com or call 1-800-788-4414. See you there.
What defines the special spirit of Penn State? Why Penn State, by author Greg Woodman, looks to Happy Valley in the 1980s for answers. Featuring rare photos, original essays, and exclusive interviews with Coach Paterno, this beautiful 256-page full-color hardback edition explores the why behind We Are. It's chicken soup for the Nittany Lion's soul and makes the perfect gift for any Penn Stater in your life, including you. Order today at whypennstate.com.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.
We are Tech Results, located right here in State College. Whether it's workstation, server and network installation, problem solving and maintenance, security assessments, or general evaluations, we are your complete IT partner. Learn more at techresults.com. That's TEKResults.com. Or call us at 814-206-0000. We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number four, brought to you by the good folks at Collegiate Athletic Travel. Keystone Sports Network, we're going to be partnering with Collegiate Athletic Travel, offering you the opportunity to travel to Auburn this fall for the Penn State-Auburn football game. Charter flight, staying at the team hotel, transport to and from the game, tailgate party at the stadium, and most importantly, you get to mingle with me and Dustin. We're going to be along for the trip. So we are really looking forward to it. Hope you are able to make the trip. For more information, go to athletictravel.com or call 800-788-4414 for all the information. It is quarter number four. Andrew Pichet is back in the house. And also, Andy, that means we have to announce our winner of the Ask Ross segment. And that winner, Stan from Tennessee. Stan was smart enough to add a food question into his football question. So that always works well for you. All right, Andy, speaking of Ross, earlier in the show with Ross, we talked about Penn State players in the NFL draft. We also did something similar with T. Frank earlier in the week. So I wanted to take the whole Penn State football players in the draft just one step forward, which is, okay, it's fine. We talk about where they located in the NFL, what was a good fit, where they were drafted. But now comes the tough part. All these guys who moved on from Penn State to the NFL, the Nittany Lions are going to have to find some way to replace a lot of players, aren't they?
Yeah, there are, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, there's some... I look at it as there's some major questions that will be that are going to need to be asked and answered when it comes to the players that have gone on to the NFL. Definitely. Some are more, how shall I put this? Some are more pressing questions that need answers than others, while some are more stock. The cupboard has a little bit more to find answers than others, but it's just part of the DNA. But, you know, looking at the holes is a good thing because there was a lot of them left this year.
Well, let's go to the easy side. Let's start on the offensive side of the ball. Two places where they've lost people. Number one, Jahan Dotson at the wide receiver position. You know, you get, as far as quantity of receivers leaving, not a lot, but it's quality in losing Jahan Dotson. But they do have Mitchell Tinsley coming in from Western Kentucky. And next man up for wide receiver one is Parker Washington. How do you look at that? Are they okay there at wide receiver?
So I think they are okay at wide receiver because – the position is being developed better than it has probably at any point during James Franklin's tenure in terms of the development and the coaching they're getting at that level. So Jahan was a two-year wide receiver one guy. He was that guy for 2 years. But you remember after KJ Hamler, there wasn't another, like it was like Jahan Dotson has to step up. He has to be the wide receiver one for Penn State, right? He was a wide receiver too, and he filled a really good role. But you remember we would talk about during that offseason, like, is Jahan Dotson a number one? I think so. He's got some traits of it, but is he? Oh my gosh, was he? He emerged as a superstar as a wide receiver one for Penn State. I'm not saying they're looking for a superstar, but I'm just saying that when Jahan Dotson did it, there wasn't any other options. Penn State has options. Parker Washington, Keandre Lambert-Smith, we said transfer Mitchell Tinsley. Malik could be emerge as a standout wide receiver. There are plenty of options, and it is not a position to worry about. The question is, who emerges number one? Who knows? But they options is better than the last time that they were looking for a wide receiver one. They didn't have any, and that's a big difference in my book.
Okay, staying on the offensive side, I said at wide receiver, they didn't lose quantity, they lost quality. Going to the offensive line, I'll say it's just the opposite, maybe not fair, but I don't think they lost quality, but they lost quantity. They lost essentially three starters with Rashid Walker, Eric Wilson, Mike Miranda. How do you assess how they fill in?
Yeah. Oh, I can't believe you brought me to the offensive line again. Don't be part of the problem. I have put my expectations for this offensive line, rightly so, I believe, in the basement. And it's addition by subtraction, which can it go from being a major problem in sore spot to actually something that doesn't hurt the offense? It's still a big step for the group. Can they do that? That is what I think. That is all I think they need to do to be able to take a step forward. It still didn't matter who was drafted, who left. It's still the biggest problem slash concern for this entire football team. And last year, the offensive line cost them victories. That is the first time that I can say that I honestly said that. It was like their biggest problem was their offense, and their biggest problem on offense was their offensive line, and the offense couldn't function because of it. And I will argue till I'm blue in the face that the first five games until he got hurt, Sean Clifford covered up the sins of that offense. And Jahan Dotson, they covered up the hole in that offense, the massive hole. And when the dam broke, it just the water came running over. Don't be that problem. Just be something that is part of a solution. You don't even have to be outstanding. Just don't be a problem, and that's a step forward. And that is not just a hole. That is a massive dam that needs to be sealed.
I'll look at it this way. They lost Walker, Wilson, Miranda, and gained, or if you will be fill-in with Olufoshanu, Landon Tengwall. Sal Warmley's coming back from injury, and Hunter Norzad is the transfer. I would make that trade 10 times out of 10. So let's move on to the defense, and we got lots to talk about there. Let's start on the defensive line. We're 3 out of 4 starters with Ibukete, Tangelo, and Jesse Luketa gone. There's a lot of names to fill in. Adis Isaac, transfer Damian Robinson, Hakeem Beamon will be back, Zane Durant's coming in, and P.J. Mustipher back from injury, we hope. How do you see that fill out?
So I break the defensive line down into ends and tackles. Like tackles, I'm the defensive tackle position, P.J. Mustipher returning and what they have. I really don't have concerns at the defensive tackle position because before Mustipher got hurt, he was playing at an all Big Ten level. And after he got hurt, the guys that replaced him did their jobs, right? Those two of those guys are coming back. I feel comfortable at the defensive tackle position. Defensive end, I mean, getting, you know, Damian Robinson from Maryland, I hope I said that right. He seems to be the logical replacement for Arnold Ibukete at the defensive end spot. Defensive end is still a concern. What is Adis Isaac coming back off a complete year of missing, you know, playing football? There is an adjustment for that, but I think the ends will be a work in progress. The tackles you should feel good about.
Okay, let's move on. I think the place where in some ways they were hit hardest is linebacker. You lost Ellis Brooks, the guy in the middle. You lost Brandon Smith, who maybe made a lot of mistakes, but he was still a veteran. It would have been nice if he came back. And I'm going to throw Jesse Luketa in there, into that mix, because he was the fourth man, the fourth linebacker. If anyone was out, he would come in. What I'm saying by that is three of the top four linebackers are gone. You have Curtis Jacobs returning. And then as your fill-ins now, you have Jonathan Sutherland coming in from safety. You have Kobe King, Tyler Elsden in the middle, and Jamari Boudin. How do you feel about linebacker?
So linebacker is something that you should be very worried about. And you touched on it, but I think the one key component for me was that Jesse Luketa served as your major backup. At the same time, he was building himself into an NFL draft pick, making a position change to defensive end. In a pinch, if you needed a linebacker to come in and fill in snaps and series for Penn State in 2021, it was Jesse Luketa. That is the problem that Penn State faces right now, is that Jesse had to fill that role last year pretty much. Youth is going to be served at the linebacker position. And don't forget Curtis Jacobs, the one known quantity we all know about. He's making a position change. I don't think that's a concern necessarily. I don't have a concern with it because I think the guy's really played himself into a pretty good linebacker. But what does it look like in a full-time role as compared to a limited role at a new position? Again, that's a good question, but I don't feel with the player that you're talking about. But beyond that, all those other names you mentioned, it's going to be a evaluation in progress and how it looks. You're going to have some young guys. You might have some guys with a little more experience, but not quite as talented. How do you mix and match them? It's Manny Diaz's toughest ask as in 2022 as Penn State's new defensive coordinator.
And he's handling linebackers, so he'll be very close to that situation.
Tough ask.
Finally, we're talking defensive backs, where you lost two pretty good ones. You had Tariq Castro-Fields at cornerback. He was drafted. And the guy who I think is the biggest loss on the defensive side, Jaquan Brisker, who I loved. I thought he was a difference maker in games. He's gone. How do they fill those positions?
So they're going to fill it with numbers at the safety position. There was just a certain passion and edge that Jaquan Brisker played with. He just stood out. That will be kind of missed. But in terms of football talent and what they have, I don't think you worry about the safety position, especially the way it's been developed. Jair Brown is still coming back. And then you've got three options to look. I think Keaton Ellis, Jalen Reed, and Zaki Wheatley all play. And don't worry about the cornerback position. It's the deepest on the roster.
And Joey Porter returning. And then, as you said, there are several options there. Kalen King, Marquis Wilson, and don't forget Johnny Dixon is back. Andy, that is it. It goes very quickly. We've run out of time. But that is it for the show. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
This is Jen from Collegiate Athletic Travel. We've been offering travel to the biggest Penn State games for over 50 years. This fall, we continue that tradition in partnership with Keystone Sports Network with a trip to the Penn State Auburn game. Join us for charter flight, staying at the team hotel, transportation to and from the game, and even a great tailgate party at the stadium are included. For more information, go to athletictravel.com or call 1-800-788-4414. See you there.
In his book, Why Penn State, author Greg Woodman takes readers on a trip back in time to Happy Valley in the 1980s, a unique era of gridiron success and rapid expansion that gave our university its modern identity. Whether you're traveling down memory lane or discovering Old State's past for the first time, this compilation of rare photos, original essays, and exclusive interviews helps you explore the why behind We Are. Start your journey today. Order online at whypennstate.com.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.
We are Tech Results. Located right here in State College, we specialize in providing assistance with many third-party software suites. Our clients include doctor's offices, lawyers, construction companies, and even hairdressers. We provide help with their industry-specific software. Learn more at techresults.com. That's T-E-K results.com. Or give us a call at 814-206-0000.